Welcome to Grace Break Radio, where your host, Tracy Worley, that's me, brings a bit of grace, mercy, and courage to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter along the way. Hi, everyone. Welcome again to Grace Break. This is Tracy Worley, and I'm excited, as always, looking forward to Monday's guest, Elizabeth McCormick. And Grace Break is about refining energy, movement, and thought. And today, Elizabeth will share and talk to us about choices and how we can refine our thought process. And a little bit about Elizabeth has and continues to empower audiences all over America and now internationally with her action-packed speaking. As an Army Black Hawk pilot, Elizabeth flew missions such as air assault repelling, command and control, VIP, military intelligence, has flown VIP such as generals, governors, congressmen, women, and even the Secretary of Defense. And we can go on and on and on, but I really want to talk about, Elizabeth is your keynote speaking and how you are empowering, inspiring audiences now internationally, sharing stories and experiences from being a Black Hawk helicopter pilot, number one best-selling author, and right now you're residing in Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex with your family, and you travel all over the world now speaking and empowering people. So welcome.
Thank you for having me, Tracy.
So
you know, you're reading all that. I'm like, yeah, let's get to the good stuff.
I know, right? And that's not all, folks. So, I mean, you can go on to Elizabeth's website and read so much more of what this dynamic woman is offering and has offered already to a lot of us. So let's get to the good stuff. And I love when you talk about choices in moving into Grace Break and the particular journey of choice. Let's dive in.
All right. So do you want me to start, Tracy, or you want to ask me a question first?
I want you to dive in. I know that
okay.
We talked about choices, and this is something that people ask for you to speak about regularly. Because it's chock full of golden nuggets on helping people just move forward and get past
it. It is. So many people, you know, get stuck on decision making and the choices that they make. And the first thing I just want to say right off the top about it is deciding not to make a choice is a choice. Choosing to hide from making a choice and I'm going to ignore it and stick my head in the sand and I'm going to pretend it doesn't exist and I don't need to make that choice, that's a choice in of itself. So when we do that, you know, you're still making a choice. So why not make a choice that's going to be beneficial to you? Why not face the fear that you might have of doing something that's uncomfortable, that's outside of a comfort zone, you know, and do something incredible that has an opportunity for success versus, you know, when you ignore something that you need to make a decision about, it usually doesn't end well. Oh, I'll open that letter from the IRS later. No.
Right.
You know, face it. Step up to it. I had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity as I was becoming a helicopter pilot where I could have said, I'm afraid I'm not going to do anything about that. I'm not going to step forward. I'm not going to take the next step. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to do this. I could have done that. It would have been easy to do it. It's easy to ignore the difficult choices that you have to make, but by ignoring it, it doesn't help you. It doesn't advance you. It doesn't move you any closer to a goal or what you want to accomplish in your life. So, you know, to me, it's why do it? Have the courage to step up. Have the faith. I believe that God does not give you a vision, an idea, or put something in front of you unless there's a reason for it. When we ignore it, when we ignore it, when we don't honor that by hiding from it and not making a decision and not doing something with it in that choice, we're dishonoring God's faith in us and God's vision that God has gifted to us.
So I want to go back to, you know, being afraid, and, you know, it's easier to just walk away, right? And Elizabeth, you've shared with many audiences about almost flunking out of flight school where you would have been if you didn't fight for that opportunity.
But I would have been a cook.
Oh, great. The models and role models that Western society has in our system, I mean, where did you get your model from just to keep fighting for what you wanted and what you believed in?
Yeah, I would love to say, oh, I was, you know, a student of so-and-so. No. I literally had, like, I saw my parents. I saw my parents when I was, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. They worked full-time. First my mom, then my dad, back-to-back. When they worked full-time jobs, raised 3 kids, and went to college full-time at night. And then they studied, like, half the night. I don't know. I mean, that's what I grew up with. For like 5 years in my home with my parents. Well, first my mom, then my dad. That's what I saw. I saw them fight for their future. I saw them fight to make something of themselves living in an area of Michigan with very little jobs, where they very easily could have just gone on welfare and let things coast. You know, my dad hunted and shot squirrel and deer, and we didn't know what we were eating at the time. You know, I mean, that's what we lived on. And I saw them make that choice to fight for their future. And here's the thing that everyone listening to this needs to know, is that your future and you as a person, you are worth fighting for. You are worth making that choice to stand up for what you believe in and be in a belief zone instead of a comfort zone.
Wow, I love that. So then you touched on courage a little bit, and Grace Break is about finding that courage to move forward in that God-given gift. And, you know, a lot of us in Western society, there's not a lot of models. There's not a great support system, because when we're stepping out of what everybody else is doing, that takes a lot of courage.
Our society does not like that. They like conformity. Everybody being the same.
Yep.
You know, let's just define courage. Because I think there's a lot of misnomers about that, Tracy. Courage is not being fearless. I think people think they have to eliminate all their fears to be courageous and do what they want to do and to step out and to do it. No. Courage is when you do it afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You have the fear and you say, I'm going to do it anyway. It's taking that movement without knowing for sure what the outcome is. That's courageous.
And most people that, you know, we see as courageous, and if you talk to them, they would say, I'm not quite sure how I was able to get through that because I was scared. I'm not quite sure how I did that because I didn't quite know what I was doing, but I knew I needed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doing the right thing for the right reason, even though your knees are knocking and you feel like you're going to throw up.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'm going to come right back to it. God would not have given you the vision, the idea, the opportunity that is put in front of you if it wasn't already perfect in God's vision. You have to trust that. You have to trust yourself. And I think that's the piece. So we trust God, but then we, in our humanity, we question and we doubt and we don't trust ourselves in that vision. And that's not honoring God.
And as we move through the choice is like, okay, here I know where I need to step into. I know I'm going to be afraid to do it, but I have the courage to move through. But a lot of people can't get over the reality of where they're sitting right now. So whether it's that letter from the IRS or fighting for the future, and it would be easier to just let somebody else take care of me than fighting for it, than having the courage. So many people are paralyzed by their reality. And a lot of it is reality given to them, and they don't know how to get through that.
Well, and I think that a lot of people they're living their lives reacting to what is around them versus being proactive and taking the action of right, right? So let's just wait and see what happens with this, and they sit back and they wait for someone else to determine their destiny. Because that's what you're doing. When you're not taking action towards something that you want, you're allowing someone else to determine your flight plan of where you're going in your life. So I believe in long-term vision, you know, and that vision for me has been when I was an unemployed military wife, talk about being stuck. I was at Fort Polk, Louisiana with my, we'll call him the starter husband. I was with him, and, you know, I'm thinking, I'm stuck. What can I do? I ended up working in a pizza place after 5 years of college. And I was miserable. I was unhappy. And instead of staying in that space of being, you know, I'm not meant to be this miserable. Things don't feel right. Things feel stuck. I don't like this. Instead of staying in that space, I knew that I needed to make a change. I had no idea what the change was. I just trusted the feeling, what I call the tap from God. The little tap on the shoulder, the little tap in the back of your head that says, you shouldn't do that. Maybe you should try this. And the more you honor that tap, the more it comes. And that tap is that voice of God, or some people believe that's the angel God sent to talk to you. Whatever it is that you believe that is, the more you honor it, the more it comes. And you have to get quiet. You have to be willing to turn off the radio, turn off the TV, and be quiet with yourself to open to hear that voice. And that voice is what sent me out to the flight line and let me see the helicopters and said, this is what you're going to do. And I was like, yeah, right. You know, but that belief, when you hear it and that belief filled me, I believe that more than I believe the reality, right? The reality, this is what I'm meant to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. This was uncomfortable. This was miserable for me. This, you know, this wasn't what I was meant for. I, you know, the other reality that was shown to me, being a helicopter pilot, that was hard. That was way harder, but that was the one that was trusting that feeling inside you, that tap, that voice, that inner voice that says, you should drive a different way home tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's... And I think sometimes people feel that tap and they're like, I don't know how I ended up, you know, driving to the grocery store when I was really going to be going to over to my girlfriend's house. And a lot of times there's a reason. But and the voice and that you're stuck, the tap from God, and where that brought you full circle now, where you've taken those experiences, good and difficult. I'm not going to call them bad, because out of difficult things in life, we bring so many lessons back to others.
I could sit there and say, you know, being stalked and physically abused by another pilot for 8 months, you know, that was bad. But in reality, it made me strong. It helped forge me into who I am today. And it allows me now to have a story to share that helps people. Because I can talk about how, even though I never knew, I lived my life for 8 months thinking I could die at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really right with God. And I was already a Christian, and I was already a believer, and I was already a churchgoer and a follower, but I got right with God during that time frame. And I learned to live my life extremely present, because today's what you get.
Today is what we get. And this is where, and I know that you coach individuals, and that's, you know, I do that as well. And so many times people are coming to us that are not presently living for today, for themselves, for their families, for their career, their calling, because they're stuck in some other reality. And, it's to make that choice, that conscious, intentional, being aware where you are in making that choice. So from graduating from college, working in a pizza parlor, and knowing, like, is this really it? Getting quiet with yourself, and I want to take us to being quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is,
we live in a noisy world.
And so talk to us about some tools on how we can get quiet. As women, a lot of us are getting up in the morning, getting everybody ready to go to school, go to work. We're at the office. We're taking care of everything there. We're coming home, homework, after school activities, dinner, laundry, I mean, whatever it is. And as women, we're nurturing, we're taking care of everyone else. What are some tools to intentionally just be quiet?
So, you know, when you're in the car, turn off the radio. Turn off the TV. Be fully present with your family. Be fully present and aware of yourself in the situations you're in. Turn off the clutter. When you're getting up early in the morning, I know a lot of people listen to the news, or they listen to the radio as they're getting ready in the morning. You know, use part, even just part of that time, and be listening to you. I talk to myself. And yes, I think that's a sign of strength. I talk to myself in the mirror, and I look at myself, and I've done this every year for almost 20 years now. And so I look in the mirror, and I know what I have going on today. So, like, today I'm speaking for a large, well-known insurance company. And I looked myself in the mirror this morning, and I said, I am powerful. I am impactful. I'm an authority. I am a rock star on the stage. whatever I need for my day. If I'm traveling, I am patient. I am tolerant.
I like that one. Yeah, I am patient.
So, whatever it is that I need to get through my day, you know what? It is up to us. It is up to, God has given us the tools, but it is up to us to set our day up and to set ourselves up and be fully alive in our day. And, you know, when you sit there and like, okay, I've got this meeting, I got to go parent-teacher conference, I've got to do this, and you have a busy day, then, you know, how can you set yourself up with you so that you're in that right frame? And when you set yourself up with positivity and you boost your own self-esteem, your self-worth, how you feel about yourself, and you frame your day at the very beginning with those I am positive statements, those affirmations, when something goes wrong, it doesn't impact you the same.
And it goes down to the cellular level. The way we talk to ourselves is how the world picks up our energy as well. When we see women walking down the hallway getting ready to go into the boardroom and they're confident, they're talking to themselves in a way that they know who they are, why they're there, and when it gets difficult, it's not going to bother them. It might get a little irritated,
nope.
But at the end of the day, we're going to walk out of that boardroom just like everybody else, and not with tissue in our hand. So, and it is, you know, I frame. However, I don't use the mirror method. I might try that.
It's kind of, you know, be willing to be goofy with it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because that's what, you know, you have to be playful with yourself. But it allows you to feel fully alive with yourself, too.
I love it. And my quiet time is in the morning, and, you know, I don't have the radio on. I don't have the TV on. I'll grab my cup of coffee, grab my journal, and sometimes I'll write something and sometimes I won't. But whatever is coming to me through either that tap or what I know that I'm going to be doing that day, whose lives I'm going to be impacting, and even people I don't know that I'm going to meet that day yet, right? How am I going to impact them? Where's my heart and my mind today? Sometimes it's in the grocery store line, right? How am I impacting people around me? And it's a choice. So let's go back to the choices. And as executive professional women, the choice to have that career and to fulfill ourselves is a choice, but it's also supposed to be fun. And so many times I see women completely getting burnt out. So kind of help us with the tools and some choices we can make to not only be impactful, but we chose that calling and career for a reason. How can we be more happy and stable where we're at?
Well, the first thing that I definitely, when we're talking about executive women, that I see happen is that they become, you know, I won't say married to their work, but so heavily involved in their work and working the long hours that they forget to take care of themselves. And self-care is not optional. You know, men have no problem. They say, I'm going to the gym, and they leave.
Mm-hmm.
As women, we are not good at that. We need to go take care of this first. Oh, you know what? I'll reward myself if I get all this done, then I'll go to the gym. No! Taking
mm-hmm.
care of yourself physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. I talk about this in my book, O for Optimize Your Life. We do not perform well with peaks and valleys in your life. You have to optimize your life and have it be in a sustainable level so that your work performance, your family, well, how you show up for your family does not suffer. So you have a responsibility to take care of yourself so you can be there for everybody else. So you are at your best for everybody else, because quite honestly, doesn't your family, doesn't your job deserve your best you?
Absolutely. We deserve our best us, and it is the scheduling, it's the choice, it's setting those boundaries of taking care of ourselves first, because it's really okay to do that, but we haven't learned that. So from our society moving from the Leave It to Beaver era, right, where mom took care of everything and everyone.
June Cleaver.
Yeah, exactly. And then we move into women in the workplace, in careers, and they're still doing the same thing, whether it's during the day taking care of everyone else, and then they're at home. There's no self-care involved.
Nope.
And those women who are in the top 10% of their careers, the number one thing they do is what you're talking about, optimizing your life, is self-care. Every single one of them has boundaries.
Have to. You have to make yourself a priority so that you can perform at an optimal level and be your best for everything else that you need to do. It's not negotiable. You need to carve out that time, that quiet time. You need to make yourself a priority. You need to put it on the calendar and not make it a get to it.
Exactly. I mean, if you have a 12 to 12:30 to go and have your quiet time or go for a walk, you better go do it. And yes, I said better. You better go do it. But I want to go back to, you know, talking about it's not optional, and you brought up male counterparts, and this is where, for my organization, we created Grace Break Retreat, because
mm-hmm.
male counterparts do it all the time. They go on golfing weekends, they go fishing, they go hunting, they go on raft trips, I mean, whatever it is, and women don't do that. It's not part of our thought process. But they do, and
nope.
And they leave the workplace during the day or at 5 and don't even question it. They just leave.
Yep. They don't apologize. I'm sorry, I have to. No.
Nope.
The work day's ending. See you tomorrow. We need to, you know what, as women executives, I worked out of the military, I worked a corporate job, I worked my way up to, in an organization I was the highest female manager in the entire organization in the world at that time, and I reported to a boss who was younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I wasn't going to go anywhere, but what I had to learn really fast is every time I apologized for something I didn't screw up, I was diminishing my own personal power in their eyes.
Oh, God.
So I say, mm-hmm. banish I'm sorry from your vocabulary. Banish it. You don't need it. If you actually do screw up, you say, I apologize. Here's what I will do different next time. And then let it go. Stop beating yourself up. But I'm sorry is the absolute worst thing. We say we're sorry because it's raining, we dripped on the floor, the sky is blue. It is ridiculous. And it diminishes our personal power, especially to men we are working with. Good stuff, right, Tracy?
It is. I have a couple of pages of notes here, my friend. So, as always. So, Elizabeth, as always, Grace Break has covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. But I would like you to really quickly talk about your event coming up in June.
June 26th, 27th, 28th in Dallas, Texas. We are doing a 3-day experiential event. Day one is interpersonal skills, where you'll learn about communication from Tracy. You'll learn from me about busting those fears, making those choices, and getting over yourself to get it done. And then day two is the cool day. It's the experiential day. We're going to do a helicopter ride over Dallas. You'll do derby car racing and team building with people you've just met. And then you'll also do a confidence course where you'll really get out of your comfort zone. And then on day three, we're going to take that feeling of being out of your comfort zone and go into strategy sessions. And you're going to leave with some strategic planning of outside of the comfort zone things that you can do in your business, in your career.
Yeah, and this isn't, you know, everyone's going to walk away. It's not just another 3 days of what am I going to do with this, it's very personalized. And the third day, what I love about it, it's very strategic of where you are. And if you want to know more about Elizabeth and invite Elizabeth to speak at your organization, go to pilotspeaker.com or gracebreak.com, and we'll have links for that. And Elizabeth, again, thank you for sharing your wisdom and bringing us into your heart and home today. Until next time, look up and out, my friends. This is Tracy Worley.